Amen. Did anybody ever hear that before? Clap, clap. Thank you. Great. They're wonderful songs. They really are inspiring. That's what I like to share with people. So you never heard that before? Oh, good, good. I don't like to sing songs you already know. That's no fun. Anybody else have anything happen to you this week? That you can any testimonies or anything? Anything horrible happen? Okay, wall watcher. Hang on a second. Go ahead, brother.
God bless you all tonight. We serve an awesome God, and you know, you start talking about freedom. Before I came to know the Lord in 1990 and I was born again, I'd been witnessed to, and people that had given me the gospel, and my sister had time and time again told me about the truth of the Lord, and I always rejected it because I just couldn't give up all the things that I had held dear. My the alcohol I used, the drugs, the sexual addictions. I just thought, man, how can I give up all of these things? This is so good, and this is so much fun, and not realizing that I was into the bondage that I was. And then when I was born again, I was set free from these things. And you're singing about these things tonight. We're speaking about these things because we live in a country where I posted earlier that he came to set the captives free, and for freedom he has set us free. And in these United States, we believe freedom is being able to do what you want. But you know, I found out since I was born again, since the Lord found me in my misery, that freedom is the ability he gives us to do what is right. And that's his grace. His grace is the ability that he gives us to overcome in time of need. And Jesus Christ epitomizes truth and grace. And I thank my Lord that he has set me free.
Well, thanks for sharing. Appreciate that. God bless you. Yeah, you don't know what you're missing until you ever taste the Lord. And then it's a different story, isn't it? Before you taste the Lord, you think, how can you give all this stuff up? It's so great. You know, drinking booze and all that stuff feels great. You know, but there's something better. He says there's pleasures at his right hand forevermore. Pleasures we don't know anything about, right? Oh, Seattle, go ahead.
I got a praise report to share with you guys. I was having back pain this past week and asked for Steve to pray for it Friday night in the room, and it's like 10 times better now today. I was popping like 1,000 milligrams of acetaminophen last week at a time, and it wasn't even taking the edge off the pain. And today it's seriously like 10 times better. It's still a little bit sore, but it's night and day different since we prayed for it on Friday night. So I give God the glory.
Praise the Lord, Paul. Yeah, I remember you saying writing into Steve's room and asking for prayer, so that's great. Praise the Lord. God's good all the time. How you doing, Jamie? You haven't said anything. You hiding out or what? Is your computer working? Good. Glad you're doing good. Yeah, you can all keep my mom in prayer. She's going through a little tribulation here with her health. We're all going through trials and tribulations. You just got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep looking to the Lord, right? Well, thank you all for sharing. It's great. Anybody have anything else they want to bring up or share or say? Jamie says, I'm a first-time grandpa to new baby. Well, well, well. Congratulations. I'd give you a cigar, but we don't smoke. Hope it all goes well for you. You still using that Mac? Haven't regressed to the Windows yet? That's okay. How's the pop-ups and the advertisement? Is it still making your computer crazy? Oh, did you? Good. Great. We're going tomorrow to... how many of you in this room have ever heard of Zach Poonen? Anybody hear of Zach Poonen? Yeah, okay. He's a preacher from India. He has a real good word, or he has had, yeah, a real good word that I've heard so far. He's in the area tomorrow, so we're going to go see him. We're at your Steve's room. We're going to go. It's about an hour's drive from here. We're going to go and hook up with a lady who's got on my website, and she lives in Altoona, and we're going to try and meet her there and meet a new sister and a brother, sister in the Lord. So. Poonen, how you spell it? His name is Zach, Z-A-C, capital P-O-O-N-E-N, Zach Poonen. He was in the Navy, in the Indian Navy in India. He got saved in the Navy, and he's had a good word for many, many, many years, 35 years or so. Good word on death to self and serving the Lord, being a serious Christian, and there you go. Kim put it up. Yeah. He has a good word, real good word. I was trying. See, it's kind of hard to explain. This main computer I'm talking on can't record and broadcast at the same time for some reason. So what I do is I broadcast from my main computer, and I have a little laptop on another table that's hooked up to a phone line that's recording everything that's coming in. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. So I got a lot of it recorded tonight. I have to find out when it's over. I'll find out how much I actually got recorded. That's how I record the sessions. If I was just talking, if I got on here and just talked myself, I could record myself. The thing is, when anybody else talks, when you all get the mic, it doesn't pick it up. So I have to run it through another computer. So everything, whether I'm talking or you're talking, it's coming to another computer and I can record that. It's a strange setup, but that's the only way I can do it. So, and when you're doing that over a phone line, a dial-up, yeah, it's kind of iffy. Whatever I got up, whatever I record, I'll put up. Whatever I get, I'll put up. Kevin says, Bill and I were listening to you sing in our car today. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. Did your radio get hurt? Did your speakers blow? They're good songs, though. And I figure if I put them out there, somebody will pick up and start singing them, you know. Then I won't have to. Well, God bless everybody. Anybody else have anything? Dan, your song is in your heart. Amen. That is true. I'm not a horrible singer. You know, I know I'm not a horrible singer. I can carry a tune, but I'm not a good singer either. So I'm very, I'm not a pessimist. I'm not an optimist. I consider myself a realist. Well, I did record a lot of them. The ones I recorded, I put on my website and run to that Third Feast page with the Third Feast music. Some of these songs nobody's recorded, so that's why I'm singing them on here. I'm going to record them sooner or later when I get around to it and I have enough time and everybody's not in such dire straits here. I'm going to record some of them on my other computer I use for doing music. I'll record some and then put them up. Okay, Purim wants to say something. Go ahead, Purim.
Can you hear me? This has to do with what we were talking about earlier about preachers and that would come in speaking truth, and then later it would be a falsehood. Can you hear me now? Am I not talking loud enough? I've been reading Irresistible Kingdom by Chip Brothen, and his teachings. I've listened to him for about a year, and I've read a lot of his articles, and he has a lot of truth, and I just really appreciated him. I really liked him as a brother in the Lord. And then to hear he teaches a falsehood, he teaches universalism, and reading this book, it just really, you know, I was just so disappointed. And this has happened over the last 2 years, a couple of people that I've really come to trust in the Lord and what they're teaching, and come to find out they're going off in some different direction with some different false doctrine. And it's almost like being punched in the stomach, because you really care about these people as the brothers and sisters in the Lord. But anyway, what I'm saying is that Chip Brogdon, he reminds me of the kind of person you were talking about earlier that really seems to be a genuine teacher, and turns out that he's gotten off track. But anyway, that's what I wanted to say, and thank you.
Okay, Purim, I couldn't hardly hear you until I put my headphones on, so I missed the first 30 seconds or so until I get my headphones on. I turned them up. I could hear what you're saying. I didn't hear the first 30 seconds, but you were talking about Chip Brogdon, how it was so disappointing that he went off. That's happened to other people for you in the last couple of years. That's a shame. I know it is. I had a guy on my website. Anybody's on my website, you'd have seen him or heard him. I had a couple of his messages on there, and I had a couple of his articles on there. His name was Robert Thompson. Has anybody been to my website and saw Robert Thompson on there? Okay, good. So at least one person was. Well, I haven't been listening to his teachings for a couple of years, but he had wonderful, excellent Third Feast teachings and all kinds of good teachings years ago. Somebody brought to my attention that he was on his way down he wasn't preaching universalism per se, but he was way down that road. And what a lot of things he was saying was very, unless message he had up on his website, was very bad. So I took all the stuff off my website, because I don't want people going to my web he had and then going to his website and hearing the garbage he's now preaching. You know, that's like tricking somebody. But I loved his brother so dearly for many, many years. He has such a good word. He was a mighty man of God, one of God's mighty men. He was a soldier. I mean, he was just, I mean, you can't imagine some of the messages he had. I have about 400 of his messages on tape, you know, from the early 70s, 80s, and I think I had stopped at the 80s and maybe the early 90s. But, and my heart was broken, just broken. His name was Robert Thompson. He's from California. And I wept. I just wept because I know I had to take him off my site. And I know he's gone off. This guy was never a wolf. It's never. That's not the case that he was a wolf at all, ever. But he accepted a few wrong ideas, a few wrong concepts, and that led him into eventually what he's doing now. You know, and it's just heartbreaking, heartbreaking. But you gotta do what you gotta do. That's why I took him off in case anybody ever. In case anybody's on my site, saw Robert Thompson and goes back on, sees he's not there. That's why. You know, the things I put on were right, but I don't want people going on my site and then getting his good teaching and then going to his site and getting the stuff he's preaching now. It's just, it's terrible. It's happened to people. It's happened to people who are very solid in Christ. You know, it's just, it can happen to anybody. That's why it's so dangerous. It's so heartbreaking. Wall Watcher says, at all times we must test everything. Everyone says continually being sober and alert. Amen, Wall Watcher. That's right. Sissy, whenever this happens, it's very painful. That's right. Bill and Karen says, your message about Chip is what we were listening to. Right on, right. Perfect counterfeit. Absolutely. Yep, Little Leaven ruins the entire lump. Amen. Go ahead, Seattle.
This just reminds me of the Apostle Paul's warning in Acts chapter 20 to the Ephesian elders about wolves coming in and not sparing the flock. And even among your own selves so shall men arise, speaking perverse things and getting off track. And we're seeing that today, that Christians, you know, people that you know that have had a born-again experience that stood in the truth, even men that are very mature, getting off base and going off on a tangent and, you know, causing damage in the body of Christ. So it just to me, it's a warning to really watch your life and doctrine closely and test all things by the Spirit.
That's right. Amen, Paul. Go ahead, Wall Watcher. Go ahead.
Just know this, that the scripture warns us that when the delusion comes, and it's been coming for a long time since the word of God was given in Christ Jesus, that if it was possible, if it were possible, even the elect could be deceived. So be on guard, folks.
Amen, brother. That's true. I wrote that in my book, Guarding the Truth. It says, watch everybody. Watch yourselves. Watch your family. Watch those who are ministering to you. Watch everybody. Watch, watch, watch. Guard, guard, guard. No, I mean, especially people around us. You know, that's what the devil's going to use. If you're a really serious Christian, you're really serious about serving God and keeping out of this deception, he's not going to use all the Benny Hinn's out there and Joel Osteen's to get you. He's going to try and use the people close to you, your family members especially, you know, or people who are ministering to us that we trust. You know, that's the kind of people he's going to go after to get in order to get us. You know, so it's got to watch everybody. You know, watch everybody, including ourselves. And I told people in that book, I said, watch everybody, including this author. Watch me, too. You got to watch me like everybody else. You know, I know different than anybody else. Anybody that thinks they can't be deceived is already far down the road of deception. They're already deceived. So, and nobody's above that. I've seen people who have awesome, awesome deep revelation, have been walking in God for years and years and years. I mean, what they know of God, what the truth of God, and I've seen them get taken over by another spirit, and it's just terrible. It's terrible. Nobody's immune to this thing. That's why Jesus said, "Watch, watch, 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 watch." You know, and it's not preaching negativism and defeatism to say, "Watch, you can be deceived." That's our safety. That's what Jesus said to keep us safe. Watch, 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 and you'll be safe. You know, you'll be watching if you're watching. You know, the devil can't come get you unawares. It's the people who think they don't have to watch. They just picks them off like flies. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and then the hearer. That's right. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Serious times. And I'm a lighthearted person. I can tell a joke and laugh and have a good time, you know, but we gotta be serious deep down inside. You know, it's like a yo-yo. I've given this illustration lots of times. You know, the yo-yo, it's wound up. You let it go, it goes down, it comes right back up. Its position is up. It may unwind for a minute, but unless you unwind it yourself. It's, you drop it, it unwinds, and it comes right back up. That's our position. We got to be like that kind of yo-yo, watching, sober, down at the base. Down at the base, sober, all the time watching, discerning, knowing the devil's address, knowing he's going to try and use people to get us. And, but we can unwind a little bit and have a nice time here and there and have some light moments. But the basic, our basic posture must be watching, always alert. So that's how I live. That's how our folks live. Jim says good night all. Good night, Jim. I'm glad you came. God bless you. Have a good week. Amen. Jesse says, Brother Dan, it's because pride gets in the way that folks go off like us. Lord help us, yeah. Karen says we need to go way down to come up and stay up. That's right. Wall Watcher, hold everything to the light of the Holy Scriptures. Amen. That's right, Wall Watcher. Amen. Well, God bless everybody. I'm glad everybody came. I'm glad you're talking. Sissy says, I was asking the question, Brother Dan, do you think it is pride? Oh, that was a question. That wasn't a statement. I thought that was a statement. Okay. I'm sorry. Do you think it's pride? I think pride's part of it. But I think there's so many things that put people in a false sense of security, not just eternal security doctrine. You know, it's just a lot of things. Remember last week when we were talking about, somebody asked a question. I think it was Fishhead that brought this up. He was asking if we believe, or if the people in this room believe, you can die before your time. And, of course, the Mullah of the night, that was the issue. Everybody was given their, you know, their view according to what they understand the Scripture says about whether you can die before your time. I didn't say too much. I just put one Scripture there. But he wrote me again this week and asked me. And I told him, I said, my personal opinion is, yes, I believe you can die before the time, if you're a Christian, if you disobey God enough. Now, Jesus has the keys to death and hell. So I don't think the devil can come and snatch our life out without God allowing him to do that. But I believe if you disobey God long enough and rebellion long enough, God will allow him to do that. That's my personal opinion. And I can produce a couple of scriptures that back that up, but I also know people that believe the opposite can produce scriptures that back that other position out, that you can't die before your time. So I told this brother, I said, look, there's scriptural sort of scriptural basis for each view. So if I was you, I'd follow my conscience or follow what you feel the Lord's telling you. You know, I can't tell you either way. My personal opinion is yes. And one of the reasons I believe that is because for me it helps me keep me sober. If I believe if I can die before my time, if I disobey God enough and get off enough and get in rebellion enough, God will let the devil take me out. That helps me keep sober. It helps keep me humble. It just helps me walk in salt before the Lord. So I'm not saying that's for everybody. I'm just saying it's for me. I consider that view a something positive for me, a spiritual help to me, because I believe it helps me keep sober. And sign. It may not affect them like this, but it's possible it could affect you, like give you this little false sense of security. You know, I'm not saying it does. I'm not saying everybody that believes you can't die before your time is in false security. I'm saying it could lead to that. You know, I think it's better to err on the side of safety than to err on the loose side. That's my personal opinion, but everybody can believe what they want. But, you know, there's all kinds of ways that the devil gets us into false security. And once we're into false security, the warnings of the Scripture mean nothing. Nothing. People read the warnings of Scripture, and they do will not, cannot, will never apply them to themselves. They apply them to the apostates, or the cults, or the unsaved. They will never apply them to God's people. The eternal security doctrine and other kinds of things also, not just eternal security doctrine, that's what I'm saying, other kinds of things get in there and sort of work to produce a false security, an assumption, a presumption, you know, that God's never going to let these bad things happen to us. God will never let us fall away. God loves us too much. You know, that's them. There's something must be wrong with them. That's not us. We're a different class. We're a different breed. That kind of thing get in all kinds of different ways through all kinds of different doctrines. And so you got to be watching it all the time. You know, so that's what pride is part of it. But I think it's a lot to do with the false security that comes in through different doctrines that we can't take the warnings of Scripture seriously. That's sort of what my take on it, you know. Yeah, I told it. Thanks, Wall Watcher. Amen. I told these guys, look, I'm not one of those guys who sees how close they can walk to the rim, the edge of the abyss. I'm not one of these guys who sees what they can get, how much they can get away with without offending the Lord, without getting the Lord, grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm way back. I'm as far away as the edge as possible. I don't want to know what I can get away with and still be saved and still be a Christian. I want to know what I can give up to get close to the Lord. I want to know how to get close to the Lord, how to die to self. I don't want to live and get away with what I can. I want to be put in the harness of the Lord. I want to be only those things that Jesus says to do and go only those places God says to go and say only those things Jesus said to do. I want to be like Jesus, what he did, what he demonstrated us. And that's the goal. You know, he did only what the Father said, went only where the Father told him to heal. He only healed the people the Father told him to heal. He didn't go out there and, heal everybody. He only healed those that Father told him to heal, or the ones that came to him in faith, you know, who had the faith. So that's my goal. I'm not one of those who's trying to get away with stuff, seeing how much life and how much life I get on the other side, because God's showed me the truth. I know that's not the way to go. So I'm not going to, you know, but people are like that. They want to try and grab as much as they can here and then have the glory afterwards. And that's human nature. And the religious system has told them for years they can have their cake and eat it too. It's just that simple. Once you find out that's not true, then you're responsible for that truth. And brother, you better walk in it. I don't know what God's going to do with all those people. I mean, it's his kingdom, and he knows what he's going to do with them. But I know one thing. The scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. And God has given me much, and I know he's requiring much of me. And that puts me in fear and trembling, and a very careful walk before him. A sober walk, a watchful walk, you know, and that's what God's people need to do. So that's why Jesus said, be careful what you hear. See, because the more you learn, the more you're responsible for. So don't be learning a lot unless you're ready to walk in it. That's one of the prayers I said when I first became a Christian. I said, God, don't teach me more than I can walk in. I don't want to be, you know, full of head knowledge and not being able to walk in any of it, you know. So, okay, Jamie, thanks a lot for coming. Amen. Thanks for coming, Jamie. I hope you have fun as a grandfather. So anyway, who much is given, much is required. So the more we know, the more we're responsible to walk in it, and the harsher our judgment is going to be if we don't. So God wants serious Christians right now, because that's the only thing that's going to survive. Looks like everybody's getting tired. Anybody else have anything you want to share? Did I answer your question, Sissy? I'm sorry. Did I answer your question? Did that answer it? Okay. Anybody else have anything? Yellow wrote something. I'm sorry. I missed it. It must have run up before I got it. Where's it at here? I missed it. Oh, but the Lord knows you were going to disobey. It doesn't catch him by surprise. So could he not still have chosen our time? Or just my thought. Like I said, that's just my... I'm sorry, I didn't see that. That's just my that's my take on it. If you feel the other way, that's fine. I'm not going to try and convince you. There's a scripture in Solomon. It says, obey the Lord. Why should you die before your time? And there's another scripture like that somewhere. I can't remember. There's a couple of scriptures that give you the hint that you can die before your time. But there's also scriptures like you're quoting that say, you know, that lead you to believe that all your days are numbered and, you know, God knew everything before. But it's just my opinion that you can die before your time if you're disobedient enough and you're in sin enough and you're backslidden enough. And for me, that works. Okay? That just works for me. If that scripture says otherwise, that's fine. God bless you. You do whatever you feel. Seattle says, 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said, some were sick and some were asleep, dead, right? Because they were taking the body of Christ in unworthy manner. That's right. That's right. That's one of the scriptures, Paul. That's right. That's a scripture that sort of lends to the truth that you can die before your time. You get under God's judgment. And so that's where I am. But, like I said, I wouldn't argue over it. I wouldn't try to persuade anybody otherwise. That's not what you're seeing, if you feel the scripture says something else, that's fine, you know. For me, it works. It helps keep me sober. Helps keep me right in the groove there with the Lord. So whatever works for you, go ahead and do. That's what I say, as long as it's scriptural. You know? Whatever works to keep you sober and watching and serious, that's, and in the Word, you know, that's what you need to do, right? That's all I'm saying. And for me, knowing that I get so out of God's will that he lets the devil take me, that's just something that helps me keep close to the Lord. Amen. Well, watcher, sober in the spirit, not drunk in the spirit. Amen. Amen. There's plenty of time to rejoice and celebrate once this thing's over. You know, once we're in the kingdom, Satan can't touch us. And with the Lord, we've got all eternity to celebrate, to be joyful, to praise him, and not worry, and not be fretting, and not be anxious, and not be waiting for the devil to get around the corner. There's all eternity for that. So we got 5 or 10 years here where we got to really knuckle down and buckle down and be sober and be serious and watch and go through tribulation and hardship. It's going to be worth it for all eternity, ain't it? Good night, stay strong, the power of strength. Okay, well, watcher, thanks for coming. Thanks for sharing. Okay, well, I guess we'll shut her down for the night. God bless you all. Thanks for coming. Thanks for sharing. Hope I wasn't rambling on too much for you. We'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise. Okay, bye-bye.